Mem Tess in the Erevin, Tavshin, Samar Vav of the 6th millennium will start off with a very big...
Boker Or, everybody.
Oh, wait a minute, it's usually a roar.
Boker Or!
In the middle of the sugya of whether Chafzei Hefker, Chafzei Akum, or Konim Shvita. And we saw, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Nuri, we were able to prove Tengokri, Chafzei Hefker, or indeed Konim Shvita. Not, of course, not Shvita with Tengokri, Shvita with themselves, with their places. Femen, we're on the bottom of Mem Zayin on the base. Tani Rechi on the left. Line cherem shebein techumei Shabbat. If you have a fish, the charamim is an area in which you have enclosures for fish. Tzarich mechitza shel barzel lahafsik. If you want to draw any water out of that area where you've got two cities, each one of them has a tchum which ends in the middle of this fish enclosure where the water is, and you want to draw out of it. If you want to draw out of it, you've got a problem, because as soon as you draw some water out, you're going to be taking from water that came mechutz l'tchum. Some of the water comes from the other side of this film. What do you do in order to be matir carrying water out of this thing, because you've got the problem of taking something out of the tchum of the other side? So tzarich mechitza shel barzel lahafsiko. What you're going to have to make is an iron curtain to cut through this water to prevent the water from one side coming to the other side. Now the truth is, there's two levels of understanding the idea of a mechitza over here. Mechitza could mean literally a mechitza that goes through the entire thing to the bottom. But we already saw that mechitza, the word mechitza, usually means tentvach. We also saw that when it comes to water, the tentvach can actually be above, doesn't have to reach the bottom. But then, of course, why in the world would he say mechitza shel barzel? I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, if it's only supposed to show something, then it could be a mechitza even of kanim. And so these are issues that will become clear in the course of the sugya. So two ways of understanding this would be that you need a mechitza, meaning an actual mechitza that goes down and prevents the water from cutting across, or that you need the virtual mechitza that is tentvachim, that is a real mechitza, and the rest of it, it doesn't really matter whether the water comes or doesn't come, because what we do over here, since it's drabonon, is we show that we've created an area, holding area for water on one side of the toilet, holding area for the water on the other side. The fact that the water will seep in from the other side doesn't concern us.
Yeah, the concept
of what?
What was the earlier concept of dam?
Dam? Beavers thought that up, man. That's before you were on this earth. Mechayach alei Rabbi Yossi b'Rebbe Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi b'Rebbe Chanina couldn't help but having a little giggle when he heard this mimer of Rabbi Chiyam. This was the silliest thing he'd ever heard. Wait a minute, that's not nice. My time ago, Mechayach. What's he giggling about? Because Rabbi Chiyah obviously said this only on leave of the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because in Yod Chav Tzehef, Gerenim Kom Yishvita, who cares if the water will seep in from the other side? And he, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, held Lekula like the Rabbanan and Chav Tzehef, not Kenim Shvita. Oh, I said, come on, Rabbi Yosef, the Sava Lekula, Manda Tani Lechum and Mechayach, but just because you hold, we should go Lekula. So anybody who's mouth where you have to giggle about it. Well, yeah. But it gets out of control. So, I mean, that's not right. Ella, no, the issue over here is something else. We should detanin aorota moshchimu ma'ayanot ha-noveim na'arein k'ragli kol adam. Is it because water generally is in movement? Isn't kone shvita at all because it's not resting anywhere, which we saw earlier. And therefore, he thought over here, boy, I don't know what Rupchia's problem is, but there's no issue, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, to overlook something like that. That's a little bit silly. Maybe that's why he giggled. Who's to say that that was the case? I mean, how do you know that we're talking about water that was flowing with a pond that's holding in the fish? With some, maybe it means that it's standing water. So who's to say that that was the case, that he jumps to conclusion and giggles? He couldn't get over this iron curtain idea. I mean, it's like, this is really, really far right. I mean, iron curtain. I mean, what would be wrong with a... And if it wouldn't be an iron curtain, if it would be made out of kanim, what would be so bad? Again, now this can be understood on both levels. And if you're talking about a mechitza and it's hanging, then obviously it's silly. It's hanging. What difference does it make what it's made out of? Anyway, we just need to create a formal mechitza. Kanim also have a kind of a formal mechitza. Elamai, what you're trying to stop the water from flowing at all. I mean, and mechitza shabarz is going to help you to stop the water from flowing. And lamaisa, even if you would learn the other chat, that it means a literal wall, when you put it all the way down. You're telling me that a mechitza shabarz in the middle of a pond is going to prevent water from coming, from seeping under, from coming around. Is that what you mean? I mean, so then that's not what you mean. So that's the case. Why not bite the bullet and accept that our kanim is also a good mechitza? By the way, there are those who learn that the sugya is not necessarily discussing only the issue of the water seeping from the other side in terms of tchum, but water going under the mechitza in terms of bitul mechitza, such as gedim bokimbo. In other words, you have a mechitza that hangs, and that we're going to talk about this soon. So then you have the problem of gedim bokimbo, right? So maybe if the whole purpose of the mechitza is water, then the fact that water is going to flow anyway is the bittul of the mechitza, the same way you have kids crawling under the wall. But, look, either you're going to accept that we're willing to tolerate the leakage, or you're going to say, forget about it. So what are you talking about? Tzarech mechitza shel barzel. So, elam yishub diktoni mechitza shel barzel afsiko. So what are you going to say? The maishna kanim delo. But why did you avoid using the word kanim? Why does it have to be made out of an iron curve? Because the ailehu maya shel barzel nami ailehu maya. You're going to get water leakage even if you use barzel. So wait a minute. Maybe you misunderstood Rechia. Maybe that's the point that he's making. In order to be able to use this charim, you would have to have a mechitza shel barzel that would be deep enough and go inside the sides to prevent the water from, which of course is ridiculous, and therefore it's tzarich ve'en lo takanah. It's another way of saying, in order to use this, you're going to need a mechitza shel barzel, so forget about it. Because it's not a reality to make such a mechitza. Maybe that's exactly what he meant, and that's why he used such a silly lotion, was to tell you, look, you really want to be mad to this? We can build a $3 billion dam and something, and then you can draw your water. Is that what you want to do? I said, no, he's just being sarcastically. So it's tzarich, and therefore en lo takanah. So you have no right to giggle at that, because that's certainly a valid statement. Ela, the reason that he giggled is because we're talking about a mechitza that is over water. And we know already from the previous sugya, if you remember Rabbi Tavla, that a mechitza over water does not have the limitations that are on normal mechitzot. And that was the famous question where he asked Tavla, asked Rav, remember, can you use a mechitza in a churva where it's only hanging in the air and the bottom part of the wall is collapsed? Remember, we had this earlier. So, Elam, Shem, the Kalushi, Kiro, Kachamim, Bamayim, Ked, Rabbi Tabla. The Boimine, Rabbi Tabla, Mirav, Mechitza, Tluya, Maushet, Atir, Bechurva. Can I use the upper part of the wall and call it a Mechitza and say, look, it extends virtually downwards. So, what's the problem? And I'll make it into Rishut Ayachid. Amar Lehin, Mechitza, Tluya, Matered, Ela, Bamayim. But it certainly will be Matir, Bamayim. Kalushi, Kiro, Kachamim, Bamayim, the Kachamim, in general, Matir. The case over there was to draw water out of the ocean, out of the Carmelite, or out of the Gilead. In Venice, you build a little virtual mechitza from outside of your window, and then the mechitzas are considered to go down to the bottom of the yam, and you can take your water, draw it into your house. Why? Because you're dealing with the rabbonim, the Carmelite anyway, and so they were matir mechitzas to luya. Okay, so then over here, why wouldn't they be matir mechitzas to luya? So that's why you giggled. I mean, to say you need a mechitzas to barzo, the idea over here is the rabbonim. We're trying to assert the separation of tchumim, right? So you'll have a separate the tchum by a mechitza, and obviously if it's a mechitza to luya, well, why would it need to be shel barzo? What are you trying to say? That you need an actual separation. Go down and dig out the bottom of the yam and build a Lincoln Tunnel. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. V'chachamim omrim, ein lo ela arbas. Wait, we had it, but let's re-examine the Mishnah and see whether we can figure out the differences here. Remember that we had the question of at the beginning. We're gonna be discussing now the entire last part of the Mishnah. So let's just review briefly the issues of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah talks about whether you get alpayim l'kol ruach, meaning can you be kona when you're fast asleep? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says you can. Chachomim say eno ela arba amot. And l'chora, the meaning of arba amot is that you've got a total of arba amot, which means basically that you can go in one direction for arba amot. And comes along now Rabbi Eliezer and says, now this arba amot you're in the middle of. Let's not misunderstand things. And you only have two amot in any direction. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can choose. I mean, isn't that what the Chachomim said? That you have arba amot? It means you can actually choose your arba amot. You only have two amot. It seems to be repetitious, what Rabbi Yehuda says. That was the first thing we saw in the Mishnah. The next issue that we had in the Mishnah was that sneaky little comment by Rabbi Shimon, who just happened to compare the case of the three people where they had an overlapping area in the middle where they were going to have a picnic to the case of three chatzerot with the ma'ariv. And he says, well, it's the same kind of case, which we know that the rabbanan don't even agree with him in that case. So what he's really doing is he's sort of undercutting them by showing that they agree to this case. So why wouldn't you be thinking? Well, those are the two issues we're going to discuss today. Let's ask the Gemara. I mean, when the Chachamim talk about having arba amot, and then Rabbi Yehuda says arba amot means arba amot, not two amot. Isn't that the same thing that the Tanakhama says? Rabbi Yehuda, hainu Tanakhama. The truth is that there would be other ways to understand the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda, Tosfos has a number of different approaches as to why it is we're convinced that hainu Tanakhama. Whoa, Phantom, come back to us.
He didn't agree.
I don't think so. He didn't want to hear. So, according to Tosis, it could be that maybe it's a reference even back to the Tanakhama meaning of the original. Starting with the Yesod of Arba Amot, certainly over there, and then a full Arba Amot, whatever we would do. Because the truth is, the Tanakhama was referring back to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, who said, Alpayim Amot, vis-a-vis the Tanakhama, who argue with him and say, Arba Amot, what would your natural reaction be? That the same way that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri said 2,000, the Tanakhama says 4. How did Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri say 2,000? obviously like any tum in every direction, which is really 4,000. So if you say, no, it's only 4. So what is 4? 4 in every direction. It doesn't mean only 4.
Eight.
That would be 8. So what makes us think that the Tanakhama is saying 4? That's basically the problem. How does the Gemara, what leads the Gemara to assume that they're saying the same thing? When your natural reaction would have been in the Tanakhama to say that basically the Tanakhama is saying 8. Fine, okay. So again, I mean, there's a number of different approaches. What's important to us is the Totsa'a. Omar Rava, the difference is Shmona Shmoni. But ain't I mean, there's a three-way machlokas. According to the Tanakhama, you don't have 4. You have a circle with a radius of 4. So that wherever you go, you have 4. In the same way that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you have 2,000 in a radius around you. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you have a circle with a radius of 2. You're in the middle. It's a total of 4. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have a circle at all. You have a direction. Choose your direction. And whatever that direction is, from that point on, you can walk 4 amos.
Why does that
say? Because you only have it once. You have to choose. You don't have a 4 amos in every direction.
So could you put 4 amos in each direction?
2 amos.
If you wanted to.
That's according to Rabbi Eliezer.
No, according to this part of the
Yeah, you know, you didn't choose. You only have 4 amot total. You can go a maximum of 4 amot. Obviously, you don't have to. It's like an Erev in one direction. Choose which way you want to go. Tanya Nami Hachi, and indeed the Brisa says that the Shita, the Tanakhama over here, was Shtam Rebbe Meir. It says, Beferush in the Brisa, Yeshlo Shmone al Shmone, Adim Rebbe Meir. So now we know that there's a very big difference indeed between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Meir.
And Shmone al Shmone, the way of saying a circle with a radius of
1. Yes, although it means more than that, as we'll see. Because you also have iPod. Yomar Rav, Machloket lahalech, avol etaltel, devrakol arba amot in tveilo. Remember that Rava's shita before was that wherever the chachamim give you a place, that place is considered to be a makom echad. We had this agabi huve ruvo be makom echad, even though it may actually be technically two different rishuyot. Remember, we had it in terms of ear. If it's in a city, that anywhere in the city is basically huve ruvo be makom echad, but within your personal arba amot. So now, if the Tanakhama holds 8 by 8, then maybe we should extend the din to tiltel as well. So if I'm in a Carmelite, when the Rabbanu were machmir to say that the Carmelite should be treated like a Rishut HaRabim and only carry 4 amot and no more, maybe the Gabi this din, the entire area is 4 amot, because that's the personal space that they gave you, is 8 by 8, in which case maybe they were matir even tilto within that square. So you can go outside of Arba Amot. Therefore, Rava himself was the author of that whole idea originally, comes to tell us that when it comes to the din of tilto, we saw this earlier, that we still keep a clear cut distinction between a set of mechitzot for carrying and a set of mechitzot for tchumim. And of course, that's really, I mean, in a sense, the underlying theme of this whole Masechta, is the interrelationship between Tchum. We seem to easily switch back between the two sugyas, the sugya of Tchumim and its mechitzas and its place, and the sugya of Hotzah and its mechitzas and its place. And of course, we saw already in the Torah, the Al Yetzi Ish B'Mekomo and Al Yotzi Ish B'Mekomo are fundamentally interrelated in terms of where we learn out the Dinim from. And actually, our Mishnah is the climax of this confusion with Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Well, what is this like? It's like two chatzerot. Well, wait a second. That wasn't tchumim issue, and now you're talking about a chatzerot issue, which is an erev chatzerot issue, which is a tiltul. And he just, you know, blithely puts them together as if it's all one sugya, you see. That's why our Gemara now has to identify this difference. Don't forget, says Rava, we never ever made those boundaries in any way unclear. When it comes to Hotzah, we had one set of mechitzas. When it comes to the dinim of tchumim, we have another set of mechitzas. And even though I'm willing to say it by 8 in terms of your personal space for tchum, I'm not willing to say it by it in terms of the heter filter. So the Taltel Divrei HaKol Arba'am, this looks like a little innocuous statement, but it's a fundamental issue that Rav is addressing.
About what?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, but whatever Arba'amot is in Rishut HaRabim, that's what it really means. Tfelo. And more than that, not. And of course, because this is the place in which we come to touch the crux of the issue, for the first time, after basically 200 pages of dealing with this issue, from Shabbos until here, we finally ask for the first time, where do we get this 4 amot from anyway? So, at last, says the Gemara, and where does this 4 amot issue come from? And lo and behold, it comes from exactly the area in which we had a violation of Tchumim in the Torah. Where we have a violation of the Tchumim, where people went out to collect man. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo. Ha! And that's the place where, of course, we also have the Rambam to Hotzah in the Torah. So now, in that pasuk, before he gets to the words, the Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo, Bayom HaShvi'i, he says, Shvu Ish Tachtav. Now, the way the Torah understands this, Shvu Ish Tachtav, he's talking to the guys who left the Tchum. He says, you guys stay where you are. Shvu Ish Tachtav. So, in other words, he's telling us, what happens when you left the Tchum? You only have Tachtav. Now let's analyze what that talked about. The rest of you who are still within the Tchum, Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo. So this basically connects all of our sugyos. space of Tilto, space of Tchumim, and the din of Arba Amos to a Yotze Mitoch HaTchumim. And where does that turn into Arba Amot? Because since it's a Shvu Ish Tachtav, it's telling me that the space that's available to you is Kit Tachtav. What it would be if you were lying on the ground, the Kama Tachtav, what would be that space? Well, Gufo Shalosh Amot. If you take a fetal position on the ground, so then you fit into Shalosh Amot, even not a strongly fetal position, but you're slightly bent legs. The torso and the legs are 3 amot. This we learned from numerous places. We had it before Lagabe, the question of the carrying of the levium of the arm, whether the arm was within 10 of the ground or not, and we got it above 10 because it was being carried on the katef, on the shoulders, apparently without the head, without the head, you're 3 amot. In this case, in other words, if you would be in a position which you're not stretched out, so you could fit into 3 amot. He asks about how it is that the 10 sons of Haman fit. There's a whole analysis that each one was 3 amot. He says, well, they had their heads cut off. So they were one on top of the other.
But they were taller than you?
I mean,
this is short.
We are 2 hours. No, Haman, I'm not figuring Haman. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaro.
Amen.
There's a good chance that they were shorter.
There's an excellent chance that they were shorter.
60 centimeters
in
Adonai Shehakol Nehiyeh.
That's
1 meter 40. Yeah. For what? 3 amot? 3 amot would be 180.
When he had.
Yeah, okay. But when I'm saying that's without a head.
Your chazon is much bigger than a head.
But we're getting to there. We're getting there. Anyway, so let's say we have this guy. He's on the ground, and then where's the other armor come from? The other armor comes from Kedelik Shotya Davaragla. But if he stretches out, and then he stretches his hands and his feet out, so then he's got another armor. So we have to allow for 4 amot. That's the way I get 4 amot. Rav Yehuda says no, because it doesn't say anything about stretching. I mean, it says Shu Ish Tachtav. That means Gufo Shalosh Amot. Now, since it's Tachtav, we have to have access to things within those 3 amot. So if you had something, let's say it's beneath your feet, you have your feet up on a pillow, you know, because you were having some pains in your feet. Now you want to go to sleep. You're going to move the pillow out and put it under your head. So you have to have enough space to take out the pillow, lift it up, and take it to the other side of you. And that gives you another arm. If you need that, you need that space. So therefore, if you would be yito chepetz bitachat margalotav, uiniach tachat merashotav, you get another arm. I mean, does this really matter? My binayu, is there a practical difference between this? Sure there is. Ike binayu, the arba amot mitzum samot. I mean, the question is, we saw earlier that we have different ways of measuring an arm. We have sochakot, we have, the tvachim. And by the same token, we have different kinds of amut. And therefore, the shiloh would be over here if we actually allow you that extra space to stretch. So then we got a lot of room. In other words, spread out amut. If we're only allowing a bit to put something out and to bring it over to the other side, it really means that you have to be mitzamtzim in those arba amut.
Is this cubic?
It's cubic. We saw it's cubic. And then we take for granted, because what's the difference where you would be? You're talking. So my binayu, just like we have the 8x8. So my binayu, ike binayu, arba amut, mitzum samut. Omele Rebbe Sharshia Livrei. Rebbe Sharshia told his son who was going to learn by the papa. No, you didn't mean cubic. You meant square. Right? You meant square, of course. I took for granted.
Why is it square?
We square it.
I thought it was a radius.
Yeah, no,
I thought I meant
cubic. No, well, above 10, 12, then it's not the issue.
Yeah, I meant square.
Brownsville. He used to use it. Yeah, that's what we mean. Omele Rav Mishar Shalivre, who was going to learn by Rav Papa. Ki ayal te lekameh Rav Papa. When you get to Rav Papa, do me a favor. I mean, we're never going to get it stirred. I want you to put him into a corner a little bit so he deals with these issues. Ask him, boimine, when they said Arba Amot, how do you measure Arba Amot? You measure Arba Amot personally with your own Amma, with your own arm. An Amma is an arm, so measure that guy's arm. And that's the way his personal body would fit in that space. Obama shall kodesh yavinale. Where do we use the standard Amma, which was kept on Shar Shushan, you'll recall, and that standard Amma on the Shar Shushan would be the way in which we would measure an Amma. So we would use the standard Amma no matter what this particular guy would be. It's okay. Now, if Rav Papa answers you, we use a standard Amma. So Imo Merlecha Amot Shel Kodesh, Yavinele. So then you should ask him, so what happens to poor Og Melech HaBashan, Mat Eyalav, and what happens if he leaves the Tchum?
He's not Jewish, though.
And then...
He's not Jewish.
But what happens if he walks out of the Tchum? Now he can't punch. Poor guy can't move.
Doesn't sound like he can
move. I mean, he can barely fit.
Yeah, that's why he got the whole night.
The truth is, what Rabati is raising is a very important question. Is the Arba Amot including yourself, or is the Arba Amot other than yourself?
Yeah,
that's a machlok.
The pasuk.
Yeah, but the pasuk is inside. Pasuk is giving you the space, obviously. That's just a way of measuring it.
But either way, I mean, if it means stuck, he's really stuck. I mean, he can barely inflate his lungs, you know. And if it means besides him, I mean, even so, he can barely inflate his lungs. Mm-hmm. My gosh, imagine. You know, what's your chest size? And then on the other hand, if he tells you, if he tells you, well, each person according to his own, you know, so then tell him, but if that's the case, I mean, I really want you to make a good impression with the Rosh Yeshiva, you know. So you're gonna ask him this, no matter what, you're prepared. Whatever he tells you, you're prepared. Okay. Because in those days, remember, the way they gave the chinas was they said, ask me something. We saw this in a number of places. You judge a person by his questions, not by his answer. So then say to him, all right, so if he tells you that the answer is we give him a standard honor, then you should ask him if that's the case. My time aloka tanila, gabe, quote, yeshamru hakol lefi mashehu adam. There's certain things which we had before in the beginning of the Masechta. Why? There are certain things that go according to the individual. You'll notice it conspicuously leaves out the standard armor, the gabe arba amot. Why is that? We talked about molei bugma for yom kippurim. According to you, it should mention the standard armor. He also the coming to Rav Papa. So he came to Rav Papa and he trapped Rav Papa this way. So Rav Papa said to him, you know, let me tell you something, little boy. If you're going to ask those many questions, you'll never learn anything. So you're not making a good impression because you'll never get through one daf yomi with all these questions. I'll tell you one thing, you ask me this, tell you nothing, tell me the other thing. This is no way to learn. But Lamaisa, I'll answer you, but I don't think this should be your approach in our yeshiva. But Leola Beyamati Deyavinilla. The truth is we give a person his own space. Now, why then is this not listed in the list of there are things which go according to the individual? Very simple. Because of thalidomide babies. If you're going to give a thalidomide child Ba'amadi Day, he's going to be in big trouble. Because he doesn't have any arms. So in other words, a part of the body that does not necessarily develop exactly the same proportion as the body should develop cannot be used as a standard for measurement. So Bishlema, if one's bodily proportions are indeed standardized, you could say that for you, we will give you the way your ama is. But we certainly cannot say if somebody was born with some type of limb foreshortening problem and syndrome in which his limbs are disproportionate, we're not going to tell him ama today, and therefore he has no room for his body. That's obvious. So you can't use a part of the body that varies in this fashion. If it's not listed, mole lugma, we can say. Ama, we can't say. Since it's lay, the lo psikalim, shum teikan anaska ivarav. There is a syndrome in which limbs are dwarfed, whereas the body isn't. And over there, we're certainly not going to hold him to standard proportions when his body's not proportionate. So in that case, we would revert to the standard ama. So I cannot tell you in the list of things that are always defined by the individual that this is one of them. It's not always. It's a beautiful, beautiful, clear-cut definition that Rav Papa gave. And his comment of not asking too many questions is also well in place for those who learned the Daroni. That's right, yeah, exactly. How you schneid? And now getting to the next piece, where Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to catch Rabbi Yehuda on this one, because, I mean, there was no reason for him to say halamaze doma, unless it was one of these cutting or undercutting kind of ideas. So Rabbi Yehuda said that in such a case, no problem, even though the two extremes are not allowed to share each other's food, because each one is outside of its own, or according to Rashi, has its own arba amot, and therefore psychosom, that this is, but nonetheless, they could share with the middleman. This is no different than two chatzayot, each of whom has their own door to Rishut Rabin. That's essential, because otherwise, we'd have the problem of trespassing with the rishus that you're not part of. Each one has their own rishus and has their own access to rishut rabim. They made an eruv. The two outsides made an eruv with the middle. Middle is mutter with them, but they're not mutter with each other. So, yeah, it's standard case. Standard case, you got that? So, lama le lameh lamaha davar domeh. Why did he make that comment? It stands on its own without our needing metaphors. Because achi kama lo Rabbi Shimon l'Rabbonan. Rabbi Shimon was trying to tell the Rabbonan, excuse me, gentlemen, but michte. I mean, come now. Lamaha davar domeh. Is this not precisely the case of shalosh chatzir? So explain to me, gentlemen. Why is it that when it came to the problem of the chatzirot, that was no good? And the fact that the two were mu'urav with the middle was insufficient to allow them to carry. How come? And over here, you're not, it's okay. And again, over here, this is the Mishnah that actually merges the two areas of Tchumim and Erevim, quite consciously. And as Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if it's good enough for the dinim of Tchumim and
erev b'chatzeres. It's good enough for the din of tchum. It should be good enough for the din of chatzer. So why is it that you don't argue? And the rabbanan say hatam afshid yuri. Look, it's very simple. I mean, it's not the whole thing is a gezera. There's a lot of people in a chatzer, and over here you're talking about three individuals by definition, because we're talking about the individuals, each one having his own personal space. When you're dealing with individuals, you don't have to worry about erev. And when you're dealing with groups, and there's a lot of people that are walking back and forth, it's very easy for somebody to make a mistake and to think that he can go cut across the chatzer achitzona on the other side, despite the fact that he's a chatzer achitzona. Nobody's going to notice, and he's just going to go with the crowd. And over there, we can't just allow it, because it's not individualized way this is. So now getting to the actual question of the shtayim achitzonot. Now suddenly we find ourselves in the sugya of eruvei chatzerot, which we haven't even touched upon kemat yet. And again, because this mishnah is a merging mishnah, we have for the first time the dinim of eruvei chatzerot in detail coming out through the ostensible simple comparison that Rabbi Shimon was making between the two cases. This gives us now an opening to begin analyzing the issues that are involved in the comparison that he made of the shtei chatzerot, and actually will be a very, very wonderful introduction to many of the problems of eruvei chatzerot. So asks the Gemara, why exactly is there a problem of the two chitzonot carrying from one to the other? Okay, so this opens up the discussion, and it forces us to look at the nature of an eruv chatzer, and to recognize the meaning of an eruv chatzer is that we are all together. That's what it means. The different batim. The problem is, Shlomo HaMelech was gozer, the idea of separate rishuyot because of separate usage and diurin. And so what we need to do is formally create a mixed rishut in which we're all living together, eating on the same table, virtually. Now, that's true about a single chatzer. How about if you have two chatzerot, one next to each other, and you want to make an eruv between the two chatzerot? What do you do? If one of the chatzerot has made an eruv, and the way that they would make the eruv is collect from every home and put that eruv in one of the homes of the chatzer, then that home becomes the place where everybody is, so to speak. And the rest is extensions, the different bedrooms of the common dining room, virtual common dining room. One member of that chatzer deposits an eruv in a house in the other chatzer. And since this entire chatzer with its 250 homes has become one home, then any householder can now act on behalf of all, since we're all together, and our chatzer is one household vis-a-vis the other chatzer. We deposit an eruv in the house of that chatzer, and therefore we're part of that chatzer. That chatzer deals with their own problem of eruv in their own way. Now, normally, what we would have assumed is that since this chatzer in the middle is being ma'ariv with two chatzerot achitzonot, we took for granted that the two chatzerot achitzonot put their eruv together with the eruv of that chatzer in the eruv house. They used to check, you know, they would either somebody had the schus to be there or house would change around, but we assumed that the outside chatzerot put their eruv in the place where the eruv house was in the middle chatzer. That way, we're all one big happy family. But the problem is, we really are one big happy family. Because if we treat each of the two chatzerot on the other side as being just homes within the middle chatzer, then obviously they're homes with each other. I mean, there's no way that they can remain separate from each other and yet be a home in the middle if they all have an eruv in the common dining room. So why is it that there's a problem over here? I don't understand what's going on. It's the Gemara. Exactly. So Amar kiven da'arvilu chitzonot b'hadi emtzait. Look, I mean, if they put their eruv together with the one in the middle, so now they're all three chatzerot are basically avilu chavah. I mean, they're all one rishus. How can we possibly make a distinction between those outer ones and the outer ones with the middle ones? Amar Rav Yehuda. Wow, this is Rav Yehuda. It's very simple. You took for granted that this worked in the direction of the two extremes coming to the middle. It could just as easily have worked with the middle going to the extreme. So if the middle now makes an eruv with extreme A and makes a different eruv with extreme B, then that doesn't, let's see, I mean, so that doesn't now mix A and C with B. It mixes B with A and B with C. So kigon shenatznayem seit eruva bizo, ve'eruva bizo. So instead now of somebody from the outside chatzero joining with the middle of the chatzero, was the other way around. Now the emtzait is similar to a dayar, so to speak, representing, of course, an entire chatzero, but since they have an eruv, any dayar is a dayar.
Anyone could do it.
Yeah, anyone can do it, because they're all the same at this point. There's only one bayit here. It looks like a chatzer to you. That's because you don't have Shlomo's eyes. But it's actually a dayar. There's one dayar, so fine. A member of the family, so to speak, puts his eruv in the other one. And now it's as if the middle chatzer has a place to live on the extremes. It doesn't make them all one. Rav Sheshes Amar.
They didn't put the eruv in the middle.
In the middle. The middle put in there.
That's why they can
can connect, but that's why they do end up.
Right. And we're gonna zero in more on this and polish it up. I mean, we're still gonna have problems with
double the effort.
We'll see. Yeah. Rav Sheshes Amar. Rav Sheshes, you don't even have to go that far. You could still have the middles being ma'ariv, the extremes being ma'ariv in the middle, but they could put it in two separate places. So, I mean, the only reason that we said that it's all one big happy family was because it was all in the Erev house. But suppose the extremes, even if the extremes put the Erev in the middle, why isn't it simply that they put it into two separate homes, in which case they're not all one big happy family, because now you've got basically two different ways of looking at the Chatzer. Now, they're shocked by this. What? The one who makes that nafkamina is only Beit Shammai. Surely, Rav Sheshes, come on, Beit Shammai. Titania, again, now, going into the din of a Chatzer within a single, an Erev in a single Chatzer, which this is just an extension of. So, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, we're talking about a machloket in a Chatzer, where you have, let's say, five people, Chamisha, Shegavu, Eruvan. So they were all living in one Chatzer, and now they all collected together. And the thing is, they put it into two separate containers. Beit Shammai says, forget about it. This is not an Erev at all. Because the point of an Erev is that we have a common dining room. And if we're in a common dining room, so how are we... I mean, you're going to say now, there's two commons within one Chatzer? There's two commons within one Chatzer. Then each common house is on the other one. All you need is two diarim and a Chatzer, you're still going to need an Erev. So where's the Erev now between the two commons? So the cliques are going to have to get together in order to have an Erev. How can you have it in two kelim? Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, that doesn't matter. Eruvan Eruv. So again, by extension into the Eruv of a Chatzer, which has become a Bayit by virtue of an Eruv, with another Chatzer, which has become a Bayit by virtue of an Eruv. So it should be the same thing. That's what Rav Sheshes is saying. So now we have three commons. Outside A, outside C, and middle. So it says, comes along now, Rav Sheshes, and says, what happens is that they didn't put it in the same place. But Beit Hillel said, I thought that that's unimportant. He said, the important thing is they all collected. No, hold on a second. They were talking about different holding containers, not different homes. Beit Hillel is motive. You put in a different home, you can't get a common dining room. I mean, even if it's in one dining room, so what? I mean, you've got two fridges in the same dining room. So it's a big dining room. I mean, after all, it's a common. So why can't you have two fridges? But Beit Hillel is certainly motive. You can't have Beit Hillel. We certainly could say it's Rav Sheshes. We're going I'll leave it at Beit Hillel too. Ad kan lo kamei Beit Hillel hatan al b'shnei kelim, that's okay if it's b'bayit echad. But over here, says Rav Sheshes, we're talking about shnei kelim, not only shnei kelim, but shnei batim. Shnei batim Beit Hillel was also about it. Shnei batim lo, which of course immediately triggers in your own mind the question of, so wait a second. So then they should ask around each other. I mean, so you're comparing this whole thing to an extended single chatzer. You're saying, I'll leave it at Beit Hillel, that if there are two separate batim, and it's no good at all, not for anybody, because there can't be a half of the commons and another half of the commons. And now you've got two groups. So why they should answer each other? But that's the first thing that comes to your mind, of course. So now the Gemara indeed wants to examine more closely the approaches of Rav Yehuda and Rav Sheshes to what it is that we can do to allow the metaphor in our Mishnah to hold up.
Well, they didn't so far too,
no? Well, it sounds good because we haven't thought about it much. Now let's start thinking about it. Omer le Rav Acha, Bereid Rav Avi le Rav Ashi. Look, I don't care how you learn this. Neither of these pshatim hold water. Not Rav Sheshes and not Rav Yehuda. They're both problematic. The Rav Yehuda kasha, the Rav Sheshes kasha. Let's take it one by one. The Rav Yehuda kasha. What did Rav Yehuda say? He said that the emtsa'it put a eruv in the A and in the C, and therefore they can carry with the either, but the extremes can't carry. That's what he said. Now I don't understand how that works. I mean, according to Rav Yehuda, the Amar Kagon Shnatna emtsa'it eruvah b'zo, the eruvah b'zo. So then, if you have kima the eruvah emtsa'it b'hadechit sonah. Let me understand. You make your first Eruv, let's say, with A. Okay, so now, what's the status of your Rishut vis-a-vis C? Okay, A and B are one Rishus. Oh, hold on a second. A and B are one Rishus. So if A and B are one Rishus, what happens in a normal Chatzer? Well, we also have A and B, three homes. A, B, and C. So you're telling me, as soon as these become one Rishus, then one of them can go and join the other one, another one, and that one now stands for everybody. Because you said that a Chatzer that was Ma'urav is the equivalent of a home. A single home. Fine. So you have the single home now gave its Eruv into the other home. Okay. So at this point, they become one Rishus. Avilei Chada. Now that they are Chada, the people in the middle represent a Dayar in a large Chatzer that has an Eruv. So now when they go and somebody, so to speak, again, a virtual somebody who represents this entire group of A and B, now deposits an Eruv in C. That's no different than a large Chatzer that has now become one home virtually, depositing an Eruv in another
chatzer. And halacha is, when that happens, then it stands in for everybody. So now you have everybody mu'arav. So now again, I don't understand. So what did you gain? It's no different than a chatzer, large chatzer, being ma'arev with another chatzer, in which a single dayar, in this case, the people in the middle, a single dayar of one chatzer that is comprised of both A and B. So fine, so B were the only ones who put in the chitzon. So, but the moment that they do, they're acting on behalf of A. In the same way that any member of a chatzer that made an eruv can act on behalf of all and deposit an eruv in another chatzer and make that all one chatzer. So why isn't that what happened here? A and B joined. The minute that they joined, they're one house. They now deposit an eruv in C. Even though only B did it, so B represents A in the same way that any homeowner represents everybody when it comes to putting an eruv in another chatzer. That's exactly what happened over here. She didn't gain anything. I still don't understand why it is that they're not all one big happy family. So the moment Kivan, the eruv amtsai barichitzona, the moment that B becomes an eruv partner with A, Havilei Chada, B and A lose their separate identities and become one home. Now, even though it's somebody that's in B, who cares? He no longer has a separate identity. So v'chiadra v'yerva b'hadi idach, when now someone in B goes and deposits an eruv in C, he's acting on behalf of A in exactly the same way that in a single chatzer a home acts on behalf of A. Why is it any different? That's what happened over. It became a single home, basically. And therefore, it's all one big happy family. Rav Sheshes' solution doesn't hold any water either. Because according to Rav Sheshes, I got a problem. Why is this not exactly the same as having five people? Once you now mix together B with both A and C, so now the AC combination represents a group. There's a commons. There's two commons. If Beit Shammai, if we just got finished saying according to Rav Sheshes, that if you have two commons, and I'm going, I'll leave it to Beit Hillel, two commons being defined as Erev in different homes, answer on one another. Exactly what you have over here. Exactly. You have accepted the commons. Now it become commons between Chatzerot instead of between Batim. But what's the difference? Because once we have an Erev between two Chatzerot, all we've done is extended the idea of Batim and a Chatzer. So why don't you have two separate commons, which Beis Hillel says equals zero eruv, not equals two separate eruvs, zero eruv. So it makes no sense to me. Wow. Either you're going to end up without the middle being able to carry, or you're going to be ending up with everybody being able to carry. But how are you going? It seems to me that everybody's pulling against an impossible paradox. To whatever extent you separate out the A and the C, you're going to answer the B. To whatever extent you integrate the B with A and the B with C, then you're integrating A and C. So, I mean, we've got a hopeless situation over here. Nobody is solving this paradox.
How come it's not exactly what the example?
What example? On the contrary. Rabbi Yehuda is trying to use this as the example.
No, this is a recitation. Oh, right.
Yeah, we were just trying to explain why it would be true.
So why doesn't it work?
Changes
work very nicely. The example of
Hamishashi,
what is the formation
of one person? Yeah, so to have a Hamishashi, Rimba Chatzarach,
just A and C. Everybody? Nobody,
because once they can't carry and they're all one big happy family, then nobody can carry because you had two common points.
I thought the one was only that one person.
No, nobody can carry. He messes it up for everyone, unless he's Mevatel Rishus. I mean, that's it can't be done to Vatachat separately. We'll get into the details of it later, of course. Omale Ravashi, Ravashi answered Ravach Bred Ravavi and told him, look, man, Lola Rav Yudha Kasha, Lola Rav Sheshes Kasha, there's really no problem over here. Not according to either Psha. Let me explain it to you. Rav Yudha Lo Kasha, because Kivan, the Irvalem, Sa'it Bahari Chitzona, Mishtaim Chitzona Bahari Adari Lo Irvu, Gal Yadaita, the Banechle Vaon Lo Nechle. Normally, what we have in a situation where somebody in a chatzer is ma'arev in another chatzer, and we say he acts on behalf of everyone. Obviously, if one of the dayarim says, I'm not interested in an eruv in the other chatzer, so he can prevent, therefore, that rishus from becoming his rishus. Normally, we say, okay, I mean, that's not what happens. Usually, you act on behalf of each other because you're all one big happy family. But since over here, lemaisa, you are a chatzer acher, and the way in which you are creating this eruv is through the fact that somebody has taken it upon himself and put his eruv there. So now you're saying, well, somebody in B took it upon himself to put an eruv in C, which automatically is Mechayev A. It's not automatically Mechayev A. What makes it automatically Mechayev A? The very fact that A refused to have anything to do with C and vice versa, and they did not think of mixing themselves with an eruv, is because they don't want to. So once, by very virtue of not having been Ma'arev between A and C, the difference
chatzers are so bolate in the fact that it's a different chatzer that you can't say you automatically act on behalf of the other person. And therefore, each one is a separate reshus with the middle one. Now, you had a problem with that, which is what you asked in Rav Sheshes, essentially. And Rav Sheshes is also lokash. Because im amru diorin lahakel, the fact that we're willing to say that the addition over here, that you can act the diorin of one, is considered to have spread into the diorin of the other one. No, the diorin is the sense of the usages of the way in which we live are spread from one into the other by this Erev. This Erev is there as a kula. When I'm a hire from one chatzah to the other, what I'm doing is I'm saying, look, I'm going to extend a concept of usage, population usage, by virtue of my Erev, I will extend it virtually into the other chatzah as well. And the Erev now draws the usage of the diorin into the place in which the Erev has been deposited, even though it's another chatzah. That's certainly an extension of the idea of a chatzah, to make two separate chatzeras that have clear-cut mechitzas distinction, to make them now into one chatzer. And the Rabbanim were willing to do that. They were willing to do that as a kula, as a dispensation, not as a chumrah. The fact that now you have A and B mixed, and you're saying, oh, A and B mixed, it's exactly the same as having two batim and one chatzer. It is not exactly the same. Because by very virtue of the separation that is granted by the mechitzas and the geometry of a chatzer, the chatzer still remains a chatzer. We don't look at it as if, so you're messing up for everybody, because you refuse to participate. I have my own life, I have my own place. And if you want to tell me we can extend the two together, and Rabbanan allowed us to be Mako, the fact that we were Mako doesn't mean that we really live in one chatzer. And therefore, don't tell me that the depositing from B into C is Mechayev A, the way depositing from one home in a chatzer is Mechayev all the other homes in the chatzer. It's not the same. It's a kula, not a chumra. See, Imam Rudi or Imla Hakel, Yom Rudi or Imla Hakmir. But so because of the Rabbanan, now going to extend the din of an Eruv to do what? To make things awesome. The whole point of the Eruv was to allow carrying, not to disallow carrying. Don't say the creation of an Eruv makes it impossible to carry. That's crazy.
It's more difficult than it would.
Exactly. We're not going to say such a thing. The Erev works, Lagabi, extending the Rishus of A and B into each other. It doesn't work to make them into one place, and now nobody can carry. Therefore, once you've established that what Rav Sheshes is saying makes sense, but it's about the same token. I mean, what Rav Yehuda is also saying. They're basically building on a common understanding. The question is, what exactly was the case of? Okay, so now we've been thrust.
Wait, so according to Rav Sheshes,
thrust you put them into deep waters, into the Katsera. We started off with a simple fish pond that turned it out to be the ocean. That's now we're going to learn how to swim. Good.
So, wait, according to Rav Sheshes now, were you playing?
According to Rav Sheshes?
No,
this was.
Right,
so Rav Sheshes, who says that if you've deposited it
in two separate houses,
that's only a problem if it's one chatzer. Because a chatzer is the creation of the iser is prior to the eruv. Over here, you're trying to create the iser because of the eruv. The only thing that made this a house that was a separate group was the fact that you viewed the eruv as turning the other chatzer into a home. But that was only a kula. It wasn't really turning it into a home to be machmer to aser all the other people.
Therefore, you cannot go from A to C as you did.
That's everybody right. Agrees to what our law is. The question is why.
And it therefore doesn't create a problem.
To Rav Sheshes, we had a problem that nobody should be able to carry. You say, no, it's not going to hurt you to make an error.
Bring us back to his explanation of why the mission is either put a review order or
Each one would have to take into consideration the way in which an error was made. Now, the question is what the case was. Okay, gentlemen, I think that was fun, exciting, and lovely new way to get into...
You bet.